Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're just so excited. We can't hardly wait every week to come back to be with you and worship with you all over the world. And we can't see anybody really, but someday, oh, those accept Jesus. When you put your faith in Jesus, we're all a part of that family, and we're going to meet each other in heaven face to face, and won't we have some stories to tell? I can't hardly wait. But in the meantime, we've got a little service here. We want a worship service, and we're going to be talking about, Lord, teach us to pray. That's what the disciples asked, so we're going to look at that is a question today. But first of all, I want to read some of the letters, and I want to thank you for writing. And we just appreciate hearing it from so many of you. And so just let me give some of the letters. Here's one that we got from Cape Canaveral, Florida. And they write, thanks so very much for your wonderful messages every Sunday. I look forward to it so very much. We continue your service to the world. And may God always hold you in the palm of his hand. Isn't that beautiful? And that's John 10:28, that he holds us in his hand. And by the way, we have a little book that we've written, and it's entitled, Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. And it's about a 14, 15-page booklet, and we send it out free on a free will offering basis. Because we have prisoners that don't have any money, and we have Social Security people don't have very much, and so we'll send it to you. And I'm going to give you the address in just a minute here. I'll give some of the letters, and then I'll give the address. And we'd be glad to send it you on eternal security. Once saved, always saved. And we got scriptures to prove it. Well, here's a letter from Cranbourne, Australia. And this lady writes and says, We get you on ACC TV and Daystar. And she said they appreciate the service so much. And then she asked for prayers for her family and asked if we could send some literature, which we have already done. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. If you need literature, we'll send it to you. Here is one from Ocala, Florida. Listen to this. Bleeding out in the jungle of Vietnam, 1969, this old Marine asked God to not allow him to not die. Next morning, they found me alive. 6 months in hospitals, I was released. Praise God for his mercy. I think to me, Galatians 2:20 says it best, waiting for Christ to come again. And Galatians 2, verse 20 reads, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we're saying in Galatians 2:22, that we've asked Jesus to come into our life, and we're born again, and we die with Christ on the cross, and we're raised with him in the grave, and we sit with him at the right hand of the throne of God right this minute. And someday we're going to see him face to face, and we're all going to be together. We're always so thankful to the service people that help in the service. Not just the United States, but all over the world we have governments that need a force to carry on their work. We pray for these people, and we pray that we'll just love the Lord and trust the Lord like this old tough Marine. One more I want to read, and if you don't hear any of the letters, listen to this one. It says, my name is Curtis. I'm an inmate in the Missouri Department of Corrections. I watched your show last Sunday, and after watching, I gave myself to the Lord. The reason I'm writing is because I'd like to receive a Bible, and can you send one? And we've already done that. Now, I'm going to tell you, friends, if you've prayed for this service, if you've given a penny this service, you had a part in bringing this young man to Jesus. Here he is in prison, and he hears the message, and he hears the service, and that service is filled with the Word of God, and the way to Jesus Christ, the way to God is through Jesus Christ. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's got to be Jesus. And when the service is over, he gives himself to Jesus. Oh my God, how beautiful that is. And so if you want to help us in this work, I'm going to give the address right now. We're the Christian Worship Hour, and we're box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we need your prayers and we need your help. But if you've given one penny over the years, and we've been have people giving now for almost 40 years, a lot of them are in heaven already, and their gift helps this young man to come to Jesus. And unless you helped us and we preach the word as a team, all of us together, this man hears the gospel, born again. Oh my gracious, I love to preach because it's a glorious thing. Now we're going to look at the way this little scripture in Luke 11, verse 1. And one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And in response to that, Jesus gave him a model to follow. He gave them two places he did that, in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11. And they probably took place on two different occasions. So Jesus gives them a model, a pattern, a manner. Notice Jesus didn't pray the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. But it can't be the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer for us that we should pattern our prayers afterwards. Because in this prayer that Jesus, in this model prayer in Luke, he says, forgive us our sins. Well, Jesus didn't have any sins to have forgiven. That can't be his prayer. It's a model for us to pray. And he just getting in that passage in Matthew 6, he says, don't be repetitious in your prayers, but from your heart you follow this model. If you want to hear Jesus pray, you read John's Gospel chapter 17. The whole chapter is a prayer where Jesus is praying to the Father in heaven. And it's a beautiful prayer. Philip Melanchthon, one of the church's reformers, and he was a contemporary with Martin Luther, writes this: there is no voice which has ever been heard, either in heaven or on earth, more exalted, more holy, more fruitful, more sublime than the prayer offered up by his Son of God himself. And so God, when Jesus prays, that's what we call the Lord's Prayer, John 17. And the other is a model for us. The model, it takes three verses in Luke, in John's Gospel, then with the prayer of Jesus, takes 26 verses. And so Jesus gives us a model. Now we're going to look at that model. It starts out with our Father. He talks about God as Father. And so he's telling us in the very first part, this is only for Christians. This is only for believers. It's not for the world. Because the world, we are not, God isn't the Father of all the world. We have people say, well, God is the Father, and he created all of us, so we're all his children. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. God created everything. He created the animals too, but they're not his children. And so he created us, but when we have to have him, know him as our Savior, we have to have Jesus. And we come to God through Jesus. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Nobody gets into heaven but by me, Jesus. The way to God is through Jesus Christ. And in John 1, 12, we're told, but as many as received him, Jesus, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. They're not the children of God till they receive Jesus. Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 12. How could you write it any plainer? And so Jesus telling us, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. And so there has to be that time in your life when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you from your sin. And when you do that, you become his child, and you're not his child. Well, if you come to the age of accountability and you don't make that acceptance of Jesus Christ, you're not his child. Jesus told the Pharisees, you're of the child, you're the devil. And until you've got to be born again to become a child of God. So we're praying, you'll say, how do you do that? We'll tell you how. You just open your heart to Jesus and say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll follow you and serve you the best I can. That's all it is. Just call in the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So then the prayer goes on and says, our Father. And so it's a family. And it's a family of people that have accepted Jesus, those born again. And then it goes on to say, which art in heaven. And this should be translated, which are in the heavens. Heavens. Because in the New Testament, there are at least three heavens. And maybe more, but at least three. Because for one thing, they talk about the birds of the heaven. And that's the atmosphere circling the earth, the birds of the heaven. And then it talks about the wonders in the heaven. And this is talking about the stellar spaces where we have the planet and the stars and the moon and the planets. The birds don't fly there and the planets don't come to the atmospheric heavens. They are two different places. And then St. John tells us that he was caught up into the third heaven. Or St. Paul, he said he was caught up into the third heaven. And that's the abode of God. And so there are at least three heavens. And so our Father, which art in the heavens, because God is in all of those heavens, all three of them. He's not just way off there in some place in that third heaven where Paul met him, but he is everywhere. You see, we call it the transcendence of God. And it means that he is far away. His is the transcendence. He goes beyond all of creation. And we don't even know how big creation is. With all the great micro telescopes, they can't see the end of the creation of God. And there, when you get to the end of that, is God. That's a transcendence of God. But then we have a theological term called the immanence of God. And the immanence of God means he is right here, this minute, right wherever we are. Not only in South Dakota, but he's in Zaire, Africa, where we're praying for this time. And he's as close to you in any part of the world as he is to us. And I think maybe in those of you where you're suffering, Christians are suffering and dying, I wouldn't doubt it, but he's closer and gives more strength and guidance. And oh my God, but this wonderful God is so great. And let me tell you something about this God. He knows, the psalmist says, when I see all of creation, what is man? You're mindful of him. What am I, one little person, when I look at all of creation? And God says, you're all important to me. You're so important that I have your hairs of your head are counted. That is, I don't know what the number is, but he says they're counted, they're numbered. When you lose one hair of your head, a number is missing. You want something more awesome than that? Well, God tells us that the stars of the sky are like the sand of the sea, and he says he names every star. You can't comprehend it, can you? Of course not. Are you God? We're human beings. We're finite, and we'll never see it till we get there. But the point I'm making is you're important to God, and he knows if you're hurting today, your lost one just taken away. Maybe the children are causing you trouble. Maybe you don't have work and you can't pay your bills. And you're all alone. Maybe you're all alone. He knows all about you and he loves you. He cares for you. This wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And so then it goes on. And then Jesus says, hallowed be thy name. And hallowed simply means that we make God holy. And we respect him and love him and bow to him. We're like the seraphim in heaven, and they sing all the time, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Never take the name of the Lord in vain or flippantly or lightly, but give him great reverence. Oh, this wonderful God, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. and in the, you know, and so we're praying thy kingdom come. And in a very real sense, we're praying that here that our hearts may be where the kingdom of God is, that we're taking Christ into our heart and we're becoming a part of his great kingdom. And in order to do that, we have to dethrone self and we have to make Christ the head of our home, our heart and our life. And then the kingdom, he rules and the kingdom is within us. And it says, thy kingdom come. And one of these bright sunny days, the sun is going to be a shining and all of a sudden it's going to grow dim because the great kingdom of God is going to come. And John talks about that. He's on the Isle of Patmos. He has this vision of things to come. And he says there's going to be a great silver trumpet. And it's going to reverberate all around the world. And then this is what he says. Listen to John. He says, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11, verse 15, here he is, King of kings and Lord of lords, this wonderful. And so we pray, thy kingdom come. And then we come to the third petition, and it says, thy will be done. And here's the tough part of prayer. Thy will be done simply means not my will, but thy will. And maybe he wants you to go and suffer for him. Maybe he wants you young people to be a missionary. Maybe he wants you to give your life, all your life to him. He wants all of us to do that. And so we say, thy will be done. And oh, when we do that, we find blessing and we have plans. Because see, God has a plan for us. And he has a purpose. When we accept Jesus, he has something just planned for you to do. And so we say, my, thy will be done, and I'll follow you no matter what it is. And if, oh dear God, if it's suffering, or if it's sickness, or if I have to be down and out, or if I have troubles and trials, I pray that your will might be done. I want to have your will alone. And Jesus showed us how to pray that. You remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying, and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Well, that wasn't because he was afraid of the cross. He was glad to go to the cross, who for the joy set before him went to the cross. So that wasn't it. Why did he suffer and have that great drops of blood? Because he was going to take into his pure, sinless, beautiful, pure body all the sins of the world for all time. And he says, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. He's saying to the Father, if it's your will to do this, if there's any way around it, let's go around it. And the Father said, no. And then he says, Jesus says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's what we got to pray in this model prayer, that we'll do God's will and be open to God's will and do it joyfully and happily and don't be mussing and fussing and crying around. And you know, that's why we ought to be doing, because we should live the heavenly life while we are on earth. That kingdom is in our life and we're trusting the Lord and we're praying for his will to be done. And so on this earth, we're living the kingdom ways. Why shouldn't we? Our treasures are in heaven. Our Father is in heaven. Our loved ones are in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our hearts ought to be in heaven. Our high calling is from heaven. And so we on earth, we like to live as though we're in heaven. And we live by the sound of another trumpet. And this old world with all of its sin and its wickedness, oh, let it be. And then he gives the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. And here he's telling us that you give thanks for your food. And that means when you're in the restaurant next time and you have your food brought to you, you bow your head and hold your hands and say your prayer. You say, oh, I can say it while I'm sipping on my coffee. I can pray to the Lord. Oh, yeah, good for you, Buster. You know, you wouldn't have one piece of bread if it wasn't for his goodness. And I'll tell you something else. If you have cancer of the stomach, all the food in the world won't do you any good. If that system of yours doesn't digestive system, that you can have all the all the everything imaginable to eat, and you can't swallow it. And so you thank him. Give us this day our daily bread. And he says, daily bread. Day by day we do it. We don't stack it up ahead of us. And then he goes on and he says, and forgive us our debts. That's the fifth petition. And we're all sinners. And we all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we confess our sins to Jesus. Now, there's two kinds of sins. There's this one sin where we accept Jesus and he pays for all of our sins. And our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then there are other sins that we commit daily that can break our fellowship with Jesus. Just like when you have an argument with your spouse and there's something between you and you have to say, I'm sorry. Well, that's what this is in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins so that our fellowship with God, it doesn't have a thing to do with our eternal soul. That's settled when we accept Jesus, we're saved and we're saved forever. But when we have to, maybe we have an evil thought, or maybe we haven't done something Jesus told us to do, or we did something he told us not, then we ask him to forgive us day by day. Forgive us our debts. And then the sixth one, lead us not into temptation. And here we have, we have two natures. And there's one nature that loves ourself. And we're just going to live for that nature ourself. We're born with that nature. It's selfish. And so we have to say, dear God, help us that we don't get into temptation. Be that there to live, listen to that old nature and get into sin. We just can't do that, dear Lord. And so we have to be careful. We have to be careful what kind of movies we watch, what kind of pictures we see, what kind of music we have, what kind of books we read, what kind of friends we have. Lead us not into temptation. Sometimes we ask God to help us and then we just walk right into the wicked, worst things you can live with. It's evil ways to live. And then we find ourselves that, oh my God, we've drifted from the Lord. And then he goes on in the seventh, deliver us from evil. And this is an evil one. Satan is there and he wants your soul, first of all. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, he has your soul. But when you accept Jesus, he can never touch your soul. Greater is he that is in you than he that is without. The Holy Spirit is too powerful and the devil can never get you. But he's got your soul if you don't come to Jesus and accept Jesus. And so he says, deliver us from this evil one. And all this evil one is everywhere. And we live in a world that is evil. And what does John say? Listen in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. He says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, because the prince of the power of the air is the devil himself. And we live in a culture and a world that is anti-Christ and anti-God. And you don't need to have very good eyesight to see that. And so God, we're just praying to God, deliver us from that and keep us safe and help us always to be dependent on you and always to love you and serve you. And oh God, we will thank you and praise you. And then it closes with the doxology. And it says, and it closes by, see, thy kingdom. And it talks about thy kingdom come. And this wonderful has all of the kingdoms of the world. And the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And every knee is going to bow and every bend and every head's going to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But it won't get them into heaven, because after death, and they have the judgment and they're going to be in hell. You make your choice now. And then he says, his is the power and his is the glory and it all belongs to God. And so that's the model prayer. And the main thing of it is we have to come to Jesus. The most important part of this whole thing is, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. And that's why we preach. And that's why we have this service. We have this, the Christian Worship Hour has a three-pointed goal. One is that we want to glorify God. The second is we want to bring sinners to Jesus. And the third, we want to pray and comfort God's people. God told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. So the first step you have to do is accept Jesus. Just say to Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I was 10 years old when I accepted the Lord. I didn't know much about anything, but of 85 years, he's been there. You make that prayer. And then you write to us and we'll send you literature. And I'm going to give you the address right now so you won't forget. Christian Worship Hour, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. And we need your letters and we need your gifts to carry on this work. And when we get to glory, you can have a part of the rewards of serving Jesus. And if you wonder about how we handle the money, I know that a lot of people worry about money, sending it off, and I don't know anything about the Christian Worship Hour or any of those people. Well, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books. They see that we receipt everything, and I'll tell you something else they do. They see that we spend the money where we say we'll spend it. We're not spending it on vehicles and such as that, but we're spending it on the things of God, preaching the Word of God. And so now we're going to pray. And in our prayer, we're going to pray this week for our brothers and sisters in Zaire. And all over the world, we're all praying for them. Dear Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the multitudes that have accepted you during this service. Thank you for the comfort you've given to your people. And now we pray for our brothers and sisters in Zaire. Lord, some of them have already died for you. And we don't pray for them because they're in glory. They wear the martyr's crown. They're at the throne of God. Oh, God, bless them. But we pray for the mothers and the wives and the children and the relatives and the grandparents of the loved ones left behind. And they're struggling, and oh, God, maybe they'll die too. So all over the world, we're praying for Zaire, your people there, and give them comfort and help. And Lord, we pray for the shut-ins today. We pray for the sick. We pray for the lonely. And some of the young people are lonely, Lord, and they don't know which way to turn. And you're the good shepherd, and you guide their life if they give their life to you. And you've got a plan for them. And you'll lead them all the way through life, and you give them peace at heart and strength. And so bless those who are having troubles, and again, help them lean on you. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we just thank you for this time together. I always think, I wonder in this coming week, will Jesus come? Well, if he doesn't come, and if I don't, and he doesn't take me home, why, we'll have another service next weekend. But whatever it is, it'll be from the hand of the Lord. So God bless you. We pray for you. We love you. We'll see you next week, Lord willing.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.